Hello, Kate Lamb here, and you're listening to Asia Calling. This week on the show, a special look at natural disasters, from theatre as a form of healing, self-defence for displaced women in Nepal, and toys that can change the world. Welcome to Asia Calling, and thanks for tuning into the show. When trying to mitigate climate change or deal with the threat of natural disasters and their aftermath, you might not think that the role of toys or fun and games would be very important. But one Thai toy designer has created an innovative set of games designed to help communities cope. Toys, she says, that can change the world. Asia Calling's Nicole Kirby met with Panita Chanjoran in Bali to find out more.
I'm at a toy-making workshop for kids. There is intense focus in the room as small groups of children work on their colourful creations. The workshop is being led by Plan, or Panita Chanjoran.
Hello. My name is Panita Chanjoran. Or you can call me Plan. It's easier. P-L-A-N. Hi, Plan.
Hi. She's a toy designer and illustrator from Bangkok, Thailand. Her specialty? Toys that change the world. Games that address climate change and that help communities to cope in a natural disaster, like an earthquake, typhoon or tsunami. Plan believes that we learn best with fun and games.
When the people hear that, okay, let's play. Let's play a toy, let's play a game, or let's play anything, the people feel like, oh, it must be really fun, yeah. Oh, it's like they are already open mind. And when you are open your mind, your brain is open as well. Mm. When you feel good, when you have good emotional, and your brain is open as well, so you ready to learn, you ready to read, you ready to do something new, or you ready to change yourself.
Plan does toy workshops with communities in the Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia and Japan. Learning what to do in a disaster situation is a crucial set of skills that could make a massive difference when it comes to the crunch. But Plan says it can start with a game.
The game is a disaster cycle, storm cycle. The game is so easily. It's just a circle of the disaster which have a before, during and after. And what it will happen before disaster and during disaster and after. And what you should do between those situations, you just mix and match a card with a board. And the community, they can use it as their educational tool.
In games, it's okay to make a mistake. And Plan says this is an essential part of learning. Kids have a great aptitude for games and playing, and Plan says it is often adults that are learning from kids.
So the adult and elderly, they learn from the children as well. One grandma, they told me that, oh, I didn't know before that my grandchild is so smart. And is this the first time for me that I'm playing a game with my child and my grandchild?
Plan has run workshops in Fukushima, Japan, after the tsunami that hit the Daiichi nuclear power plant and caused a nuclear catastrophe. And also in Tacloban, the Philippines, a community devastated by Typhoon Haiyan in 2013. Being in these places, Plan also learned an important lesson.
When I come back to Thailand, I'm also wondering why in Philippines it's have a lot of storm, a lot of typhoon, and it's lost a lot of life. I found that, oh, it's about the climate change as well, that affect to the people. It means that if we are doing something here, will create some pollution. It will affect our fan to the other country.
Her board game, Risco, explores this kind of cause and effect. Participants get points for changing their behaviour, reducing pollution and climate change risks, and avoiding natural disasters. Back at the workshop, the kids seem to be picking up the message very quickly.
Yeah, it's a cooperation game. So you're going to work together to win in a certain amount of time. Yeah.
For Asia Calling, this is Nicole Kirby in conversation with Panida Tancuran in Ubud, Indonesia.
When Nepal was struck by a catastrophic earthquake in 2015, more than 8,000 people were killed and 500,000 homes were destroyed. The disaster forced thousands into refugee camps. And the problems didn't stop there. Several cases of sexual assault and harassment led to police teaching women self-defense. Rajan Parjuli has the story.
The open field of Chabel, the northeast of Kathmandu, is filled with tarpaulin tents. All of these people are displaced from Kathmandu and outside due to the massive earthquake. Around 50 women have gathered in the central part of the open field, making a large circle. They are standing and closely watching three women police officers at the center. Two police officers are performing the role of women and abuser on the other side.
When someone tries to pull you, force you, they will try hard, and you also need to be strong. You cannot look weak.
Police officer Pramila Khadka is explaining different self-defense tools. And police officers practically showing this to the people.
Today and yesterday, we taught them different techniques to protect herself. Tomorrow, I will teach them how to grab an enemy's neck and put them on the ground. Many women have told us that they are also beaten by their husbands and have their hair pulled. We will teach them what to do if someone pulls your hair.
After police showed the example, all participants were divided into pairs and they practiced it on the field. ...21-year-old Sajana Lama has been staying in the tent for a month after her rented room collapsed in Kathmandu due to earthquake. Her home in Ramechhap district also turned into rubble. It's her third day in the training.
I felt I really needed to learn this. We are unsafe, especially in the evening and night when we are alone. We have heard about rape and violence. Strange boys tease us and they try to touch us. Before, I always tried to avoid it and run. But now, I know how to injure the person before I run.
Nepal police started the defense training class after two cases of rape and five cases of attempt to rape were reported from these temporary camps.
Definitely, the earthquake has added something, but what our societal value or the kind of the mindset of men who always think that women's body can be used as a commodity is the main reason for this one.
Dr. Renu Adhikari is the chairperson of Women Rehabilitation Center. Her team has been traveling to all 11 earthquake-affected districts and helping women to be safe from possible violence. She says earthquake has added series of vulnerability to women and adolescent girls.
Unknown faces were there, you know, kind of teasing the young girls, talking to them in a particular way, you know, looking at them, staring. And then all, and then when you ask them, who are you and what you are doing, we are trying to help.
Back in the training, 30-year-old Tasi Doma is asking the trick to escape and run. She says she needs it every day at her home.
I really want to be able to run away. At my home, my brother-in-law hits me. My husband hits me. I'm living with pain. The training has given me the confidence. Now I think I can protect myself and run away in time before I am injured more.
For Asia Calling, I'm Rajan Parajuli from Kathmandu.
You're listening to Asia Calling on KBR. Some of the world's most devastating natural disasters have occurred in Pakistan, a country already facing poverty and terrorism. In the past 5 years, more than 23 million Pakistanis have been affected by severe earthquakes and floods. And between 2005 and 2010, nearly 100,000 deaths were caused by natural disasters. After a tumultuous decade, Naeem Sohutra investigates what lessons Pakistan has drawn.
Allahu Akbar, zalzala aa raha hai. Zalzala aa raha hai is time, Faisal Masjid.
Residents of Islamabad are very familiar with earthquakes. Pakistan's capital city is located on a seismic fault line that runs through several countries in South Asia. Kashif Ahmed works as a guard in the city. But in October 2005, his village of Neelam, in a scenic part of Kashmir, was flattened by a powerful earthquake.
I was busy working at home when the earthquake struck. Within 5 to 6 minutes, it grew dark and everything was covered in dust. The mountains turned into particles of dust and our houses were flattened to the ground.
The 7.6 magnitude quake caused widespread destruction, killing nearly 80,000 people and displacing 3.5 million others. It was the worst disaster the country had ever seen, and at the time, the government had limited mechanisms in place to cope. But 2 years later, the government established the National Disaster Management Authority, or the NDMA. Ahmed Kamal, the spokesperson for the agency, says that a decade on, Pakistan is much better prepared and coordinated.
As far as preparedness is concerned, all the federal and provincial departments concerned work under a single umbrella, which exists at the provincial, district and local level. At the federal level, the National Disaster Management Authority creates a national contingency plan, especially for meteorological disasters.
In 2010, big floods caused by heavy rainfall inundated a fifth of the country. Around 2,000 people died, while 20 million lost their homes and livelihood. While the coordination structures were in place, poor management marred rehabilitation efforts. But Kamal says the government has learned its lessons.
In the case of any natural disaster, the most important thing is how we respond to it. Is it real-time response or is it delayed? We've learnt lessons from the 2005 earthquake and the 2010 floods. We've set up human resource facilities in every province. Its purpose is to respond quickly by providing food and non-food items from the nearest centre within the shortest possible time. This year, we've also made a major achievement by launching a free SMS warning system.
Information dissemination.
An initiative from the government and private cellular companies, SMS text messages warning citizens about floods and earthquake are now regularly sent out to 52 million people across the country when a disaster strikes. The SMS system is the first phase of the country's early warning system and has been well received so far. The agency claims the SMS alerts saved many people during the last year's monsoon flooding in the eastern province of Punjab. But some 150 kilometers from the NDMA office, a housing project to resettle 2,000 families displaced by the 2000 earthquake is yet to be completed. Analysts like writer Tahir Malik say the government needs to improve governance related issues.
नहीं पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू बिल्कुल आप सही कह रहे हैं, हम मैच्योर हुए हैं, डेफिनेटली मैच्योर हुए हैं.
Of course, there is some improvement, but I don't think the government has learned lessons from previous experiences. In the severe floods of the 1980s, a lot of international aid money poured in from the international community. After the 2005 earthquake, the international community's response was appreciated, but the government is only interested in getting money. We should also equip ourselves to handle such calamities.
The government is currently working with hundreds of non-profit organizations to work in different sectors like risk reduction and rehabilitation in the event of any natural disaster. Experts like Dr. Manzoor from Oxfam say the government has taken positive steps but needs to be focused more on disaster risk reduction.
It's important to strengthen provincial disaster management authorities, and there must be a specific cadre of experts in disaster risk reduction. And then I would say that the government has to really work hard and support. You see, the overall humanitarian community is to create a good humanitarian space where the players could come and work easily, so that they should also contribute and share the role with the government.
But until that happens, experts fear Pakistan is ill-prepared to deal with a future natural disaster. For Asia Calling, this is Naeem Sahotra in Islamabad, Pakistan.
Finally, on Asia Calling, when Typhoon Haiyan ripped through the Philippines in 2013, it claimed thousands of lives. In the wake of the destruction, one group, the Philippine Educational Theatre Association, or PETA, helped to heal trauma in the community through theatre. PETA's program Lingap Sining, or Nurturing Hearts Through the Arts, worked with communities, students, teachers and parents in the country's east, an area among the worst hit by the disaster. Madonna Varola has this story.
I'm passing by markers of mass graves, the grave sites of those killed by Super Typhoon Haiyan. 16-year-old Norlin Boko is among the tens of thousands of survivors in the Visayas region. The horrific day was the morning of November 8, 2013. People thought it was a normal typhoon, not understanding what a storm surge was. Norlin recalls what it was like when Haiyan hit.
Our house, which was by the road, was carried away by huge wave of seawater, with separated members of the family. I swallowed plenty of water and was saved by trunks from the trees and houses which I held onto. I was crying hard. I lost hope and I just prayed while fighting for my life in an open space of water. One of my siblings died.
Founded by the Germany-based NGO Tardis Home, the Philippine Educational Theatre Association, or PETA, moved into affected areas to debrief survivors and conduct theatre workshops just weeks after the typhoon. Michelle Kalinawan, a member of the local theatre group, the Palo Culture and Arts Organization, explains how they worked.
Sa amin kasi talaga totally wash out. Until napunta kami ng evacuation.
Our house was totally washed out, so we had to stay at the evacuation center. My mind was blank and I was only looking for food and missing relatives.
Pita from Manila made us go through drawing and play activities to express our feelings and think about our next plan. I next helped in evacuation center. I was healing while others healed too.
Yayin de la Cruz is project coordinator for PETA, conducting creative campaigns for safe schools and resilient communities, explains more.
Naniniwala din po kasi yung PETA sa...
We believed in the power of theater not only to entertain but to also transform the community. So PETA explores theater for psychosocial support and disaster risk reduction.
Editha Maceda is a senior teacher at the San Joaquin Central School in the community. She says 67 of more than 400 pupils died during the typhoon, including one who was graduating valedictorian in grade 6. In telling their experiences, the students make use of drama, visuals, music, movements, and creative writing.
They enjoy and they love to move. Not like in usual seminar that they sit down. This is the most enjoyable one. Like for example, in identifying hazard and disaster, there are pictures that they have to choose. Picture, and the children now are more resilient and they are aware of what is happening around. And first and foremost, the children would remind me, Mom, it's already signal number 2. We have to go home.
Yayin de la Cruz says part of the healing is being empowered for a disaster. So they rehearse to explore problems and solutions.
Ang first picture ng ibang mga bata, ang
like before the typhoon, they would depict their father to be drinking wine, children to be wasting time on the mobile phone and computer games. After the typhoon, they depict themselves to be listening to news, asking their parents how they can be of help and managing their garbage so they don't clog in the drainage.
Municipal Health Officer Leo Calonia says stage plays like Padayon, a Waray local term for Move On, offers good learning experiences. The play depicts the story of an imaginary community devastated by a strong typhoon and how it stood up after the disaster. It has been seen by nearly 8,000 people since its first tour in November 2014, he says.
It's holistic, participatory, and healing that happens within the community.
Leo has also joined PETA in the request for more survivors to undergo theater workshops for healing. So far, 8 villages and 13 schools in Leyte Province have taken part in the workshops. In the meantime, student Norlin is now able to sing with others.
Now, I have the courage to share to inspire others because, like me, I am a survivor. I used to hide under the blanket, so I wouldn't hear even the drops of rains. Theater helped me to get over the trauma.
Bawat isa may pangarap, mag-isikap upang lumaganap.
And Norlin tells the world through a song that while there is life, there is hope to realize her dreams. For Asia Calling, this is Madonna Virola, reporting in Palo, Leyte.
That's all for this edition of Asia Calling. Our program today was produced in the studios of Radio KBR in Jakarta, Indonesia. To find out more about our show, send us a message on our Asia Calling Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Asia Calling. I'm Kate Lamb, back next week with more stories from Asia.
خیالت نه